Welcome to our White Waltham Church service. Please have your Bibles ready to look at Romans together.
Jesus is Lord, behold the King of Kings, exalted high, the name above all names. I sing his praise.
Good morning, everybody. Today's reading is taken from Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 13, and may be found on page 1128 of your Pew Bibles. 1128. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who, as to his human nature, was a descendant of David, and who, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now. Come to you in order that I might have a harvest amongst you, just as I have had amongst the other Gentiles. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
What has your letter writing been like over the years, I wonder? I guess mixed, like mine. I wonder if you tried to keep a relationship going overseas. Those blue folding things that you kind of wrote and then folded up and sent, they could have been quite intense, keeping that friendship going. Or maybe you sprung into poetry sometimes, maybe for those love letters when love first blossomed. But is any of our past correspondence really going to be read 20 years from now, 50 years, 100 years? And as for this current text speak, how are you? I'm feeling great with the number 8. Well, is that going to last? Ha, lol. Now, our correspondence probably won't be read much longer after we're dead. But Paul's letter to the Romans continues to have a life-changing impact all over the world, hundreds and thousands of years after he wrote it. Romans is one of the most influential parts of the Bible. Countless Christians down the centuries have come to a greater understanding of the glory of the gospel through reading and studying this book of the Bible. And now we have the chance. I hope you're excited like I am. As he writes, Paul has not actually reached Rome yet. He's writing to the church in Rome to gather support for his trip to Spain. We find a bit about that in chapter 15. To deal with the tension between the Christians who come from Gentile backgrounds and the Christians who come from the Jewish backgrounds. And we'll discover a bit of that, and it comes later in the letter. But mostly he wrote to share the gospel and the importance of understanding, believing and living the good news of Jesus. How the gospel saves, transforms and gives hope. So as we read Romans together, we will go deeper into the magnitude, the hugeness of God's grace and mercy to us in Jesus. I wonder if you've read the whole letter, maybe this week, the challenge I set you. There is that structure in our weekly news message. But first we want to know, who is this letter from? Who is it to? And what is this letter about? And in chapter 1, verses 1 to 17, and our passage today, Paul introduces his letter by introducing himself, his relationship to the Romans, and why they need to listen. And he outlines his gospel message. It's a great place for us to start to understand the letter of Romans. And as we hear Paul's words speaking God's unchanged message to us all these centuries later. Well, we're first of all going to think about Paul, and hopefully some points will appear next to me on the screen here. The letter is from Paul, verse 1 and verse 5, and we learn things about Paul and his purpose. First of all, he was a servant of Christ Jesus. That's a parallel phrase to something that was used in the Old Testament, servant of the Lord. And it shows us straight away how Paul regards Jesus in the same way as he regards Yahweh, the Lord God himself. And that servant word is literally slave. Paul's master is Christ Jesus. Paul's also described as called to be an apostle. This gives Paul's office, what he's about, the authority of belonging to the small group who particularly met the risen Lord Jesus and were apostled or sent on his behalf. Next, we see that Paul was set apart for the gospel of God. For Paul, the gospel is Jesus, God's work of salvation through his Son. So this gospel comes from, is literally sent by God. And then in verse 5, we see that Paul has received grace and apostleship. He is to call people to obedience to faith to Jesus and faith in Jesus, to belong to Jesus for the sake of the name of Jesus. Well, let's briefly remind ourselves of what we know of this character Paul from before. And you can see now there a cartoon in front of you. It's part of a large poster which gives some of the structure of Romans. You can find it on the web and I'll show you bits and bits of it. You see, he was first of all called Saul. He was from Tarsus. He was a Pharisee, a trained Jewish leader, steeped in the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible, God's laws and traditions. But you'll know the famous story of his meeting with Jesus on the road to Damascus, where he was going to persecute Christians. Suddenly, he meets with Jesus and is sent as an apostle to tell people about Jesus, and particularly to the Gentiles. This is an extraordinary change, and he's now preaching the cross and Jesus as king. He travels all over the place, to Italy, to that sort of area in the Middle East, planting churches and encouraging Christians. And he occasionally wrote letters, of which this is one, this letter to the Church of Rome. So listen to Paul in this letter. He has had a dramatic encounter with the risen Lord Jesus, and he has led a missionary life like no other. Paul comes with authority and under the orders of Jesus Christ, and he speaks from Christ Jesus, speaks the gospel from God to call us to the obedience that comes from faith. So this letter is from Paul. But who is it to? Who are these Romans? Well, the Roman Christians are called to belong to Jesus Christ, verse 6, and so bringing them to obedience and faith. They are, verse 7, loved by God. They're called to be saints, which are those who have been pronounced by God to be holy people. This is the chosen people language of the Old Testament, but it's now applied to Gentiles as well as Israel. And this is a big theme of the book of Romans, that God's chosen people are from all nations, only by faith, which is, of course, where we are included too. In verse 8, Paul thanks God through Jesus Christ for the Roman church. Why? Because their faith is reported all over the world. Imagine Christians everywhere saying, hey, do you know, in Rome there are Christians. It's great, isn't it? And the Roman Christians are constantly remembered in Paul's prayers, verse 9 and 10. We can be praying for our brothers and sisters, maybe particularly at this time when we don't see each other. And we can be giving thanks to God that there are Christians in White Waltham, giving thanks to God that there are Christians in Woodlands Park. It would help to get in touch with each other, to find out what we can be praying for. And of course, we can be praying for Christians in other places that we know of too. And as Paul remembers these Roman Christians in his prayers, he's moved to want to visit them. Isn't that poignant at the moment as we think of each other, but we need to stay apart at the moment. We want to be together. Well, from the rest of this letter, we learn that Paul's plan is to see them after he's been to Jerusalem with a financial gift and en route to Spain. As we listen in to this letter with a faithful Roman church, if we are Christians, we're reminded that we are called to belong to Jesus. We are loved by God as his saints, as his holy people. And any reader, any listener from any nation or any background can pray that we should know, we would be ready to receive the challenge and the encouragement of this letter. So Paul has the authority to be listened to carefully as to the words of God. And along with the Roman Church, we are ready to hear encouragement and challenge, to believe and obey. Well, what will we be hearing? We'll be hearing the gospel. In verse 1 to 4, we learn a lot about the gospel. And I'm going to put up sort of a table to help us to understand the things that Paul is saying, particularly as answers maybe to common questions, maybe questions that you've had or questions that you've had asked of you about the gospel. This is really going to help us. So let's have a look. The gospel. Is the gospel a man-made story? Well, Paul would say, no. The gospel comes of or comes from God's, verse 1. And frankly, no man-made story would start with how we can't do it ourselves, but how we need to be rescued. The gospel comes from God's. What about the thought that the gospel is a second attempt by God after the Old Testament didn't work? No, the gospel is not new. It was promised beforehand through the prophets, verse 2. So you might know 2 Samuel 7, there's a great promise of an eternal king, which is certainly not fulfilled in David or his sons. In Deuteronomy, there's a promise of a new Moses. In Isaiah, there's promises of a suffering servant representing God's people. And throughout the Old Testament, Jesus is promised beforehand. Well, it's the gospel about humanity's God-shaped whole. You may have heard that. No, it is about Jesus. Verse 3 and 4 talk about Jesus, the human Jesus of Nazareth, of the line of King David, and the divine Jesus, Son of God. Jesus is proved to be God's king by the resurrection. In our Isaiah 9 reading that we had earlier, we saw that Jesus fulfills that promise of the king who would rule forever in perfect justice, a wonderful counsellor. So the gospel is not about us and what we might want, but it's about Jesus, who we need. Well, maybe you've heard this. The gospel makes no demands on you. It takes you how you are. Well, no, it calls us to obedience. Verse 5, to live differently as God's holy, beloved people. Jesus is Lord as well as Saviour. What about this? The idea that the gospel message is all for the sake of people. Well, That makes it small. It is a message. The gospel is a message that people may hear and believe. But it is ultimately for Jesus' glory. Verse 5. For his name's sake. And the gospel is one way of understanding God. Well, that's the argument for various religions all having their various paths, isn't it? But God calls people from all nations. Verse 5. It applies to everybody. All need this gospel. Well, to summarise, we've got a few of these cartoon pictures going to be appearing from time to time during the series. A little summary that this part of Romans tells us it's from Paul. It's to the Roman Christians, and as such, it can be to us as the word of God. And the gospel is from God and about God, which means that the gospel is not ours to alter. In our evangelism, when we're telling people what we believe, we're not thinking of a new message. Rather, we are faithfully passing on God's message of his son, Jesus. And the rest is up to him. The gospel is about God and his purposes, and it's not about us. It's not about our needs, our kind of God-shaped hole, thinking, how can I be fulfilled? No, it's about God and his purposes, and that gives us a much bigger picture of what the gospel is about. The gospel is about Jesus and for Jesus. The gospel is about Jesus' identity and authority, who he is as saviour to be turned to in faith, and who Jesus is as Lord to be obeyed as we follow him. And it is for his glory. People coming to Christ brings Jesus glory. The message of his love acted upon through the cross brings him glory. The growth of his church brings Jesus glory. It's for him. And the gospel demands a response of faith. The gospel demands a response. The gospel is not take it or leave it, but it's vital, life-changing news. And we'll have more on that next week. But for now, I pray that you might spend time maybe thinking about the passages before we get to them and the services, so that we can journey deeply together into God's grace and gospel together. Hear the Christ-sent Apostle Paul, who speaks God's words for you and for me about Jesus, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, Lord and Saviour. Well, thank you for joining us for our White Waltham Church service. May God the Father, by whose love Christ was raised from the dead, open to you who believe the gates of everlasting life. Amen. May God the Son, who in bursting from the grave has won a glorious victory, give you joy as you share the Easter faith. Amen. May God the Holy Spirit, who fill the disciples with the life of the risen Lord, empower you and fill you with Christ's peace. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be amongst us and remain with us always. Amen.